spiritual lessons from the landscape. I had 3,000 plus miles to work this up for generations and for you, and I hope that you will find some truth in the text as I have. And this week, we're going to be a second to last one. Next time, we talk about the night. We've covered sun, mountain, desert, plains. Now we get into the last portion, and you know, the way back from out west, that's the final portion of the plains. And we heard repeatedly when we were at gas stations and bars and grills to have a sandwich that, oh, you got 600-700 miles to go. What a nightmare going across South Dakota. There's nothing to see, and so on and so forth. And as we got past the Indian reservation there on the western side of South Dakota, on the north side, going on 212. And by the way, if you ever go to South Dakota, choose to go that route, there's two things to keep in mind. One, there's not much traffic. All the way, there's not that much traffic. However, once you hit the Missouri River and cross this big giant bridge, it's a big steel bridge, there is absolute nothing. I mean, good luck on finding a place to eat. Good luck on the gas stations until you hit the eastern side of the Indian reservation there. And then afterwards, you'll be very close to Sturgis, coming down the hill there. But I was starting to think as we were going through the plains on our return, usually I was praying this time that on the last day of our return trip, we came back on Sunday, we had about 380 miles to go. And I was saying, Lord, help me not be depressed today. This is coming back. You know, we're on our last day. Let's make this run, you know, a good run. It's still another run. We still got a long ways to go. And boy, the Lord just worked through it. It wasn't boring at all. It was another ride. It was another ride. And if you like riding motorcycles, no matter where you're at, you're going to like riding. But as I started to look at the landscape more and more, I realized that there was intrinsic beauty there. Even in the grass and the hay fields and the flatness and very little texture to the land, it was still quite amazing. And at that moment, the thought came to my mind that it's just like you. Every one of you have your own textures, your own differences, but your own beauty. God created you fearfully and wonderfully. And He's given you a gift for the benefit of the body. And that gift should be exercised because it's a beautiful gift. It's a wonderful gift. And you are created in God's image. You have intrinsic value, even though you're quite different than each one of you. Individually, you make up the sum total of parts, but those parts are individually wonderful. So upon first look, the plains may seem rather drab and boring. This is the actual picture. And there's very little landscape. You get a little bit in the back. However, what's interesting is that this is where most of the grain is produced for feeding animals and humans necessary for the sustainment of life. And it occurred to me that even though it's not as spectacular and grand as a mountain view per se, this is the place that's absolutely necessary for the world, and for the United States in particular, to get a lot of its products for food. And like manner, spiritual lessons, did you know that the body of Christ absolutely has to have you here? You have to be here. You individually must be a part of the body of Christ because the body of Christ suffers when you're not present. Imagine the grain without the stem. Imagine the plant without the soil. Imagine the soil without the nutrients in it. Imagine the soil with the nutrients and no rain. All parts of the body combine and work together for the benefit of the entire body, which is why I continue to say that your presence is absolutely necessary for the health of this body, for the body of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he was talking about money and possessions, and I read the first portion, we get to verse 19, it says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. And here's the catch, wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart also will be." Where is your treasure? What is it in life that you treasure the most? We think of family. We think of our children. Those are the most intrinsic, most powerful, most important relationships that we can have. The greatest gift that God's ever given us is our spouse and our children, aside from salvation. Salvation, obviously, is the most important gift. We think of what is it that we treasure? What is it that we hold on to? What is it that we put in the safe and protect? And maybe we have a safe that's not actually a safe that needs to be cracked and fiddled with and has a door, but maybe there's a safe in your heart that you guard and you protect from others. Where is your treasure? Jesus asks. And he said it, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And then he skips down there and says, I won't read 22 and 3, but 24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve and be enslaved to money. I've known people my whole life that are enslaved to money. It's not because they're swimming and they're drowning or they're right above water and they're just getting by. Those people are striving for money out of necessity, out of hard work and determination. Sometimes it's because of poor choices, but most of the time, it's hard work and determination that's keeping them above water. They're not storing up treasures in heaven that's money. They're not worshiping money, but there are a lot of people that I've met in my life that's all they talk about. I've talked to people who all they do is go on and talk about all the things that they had and they've accomplished in their lives. And all the treasures that they have around their house and all the nice fancy cars and all they always pay cash for this and all. And I started to wonder if he realized how empty he sounded to me. How empty his life must be to not be one who is generous and gives, or rather stores. And we're not talking about putting away for retirement so you have enough to sustain yourself and not put a burden on your extended family because you made poor decisions. No, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about a time in your life where you work really hard and you save, and there's a time of so-called retirement where we can rest and not work, and we build up our vats in order to do it. There's nothing evil or wrong with that in any way, shape, or form. Well, some people are always looking for the latest scheme, the latest quick fix. Sell this business opportunity, that investment. And you know it's not built on solid ground. It's built on this idea of materialism and greed. And Jesus said, don't do it. Don't do it. No one can serve two masters. Here we see where the buffalo roams and eats. I wonder if the buffalo is worried about his jacket. I wonder if the buffalo is worried about a new pair of shoes. I wonder if the buffalo is worried about his new mane. Further, I wonder if the buffalo is worried about where he's eating next. If any of you have ever seen a buffalo in South Dakota, I can assure you they don't care a whole lot about much, including you. They just roam around the fields and enjoy themselves and poop on the road. They have no worries. They have no worries at all. We've built sanctuaries for these buffaloes, haven't we? In fact, we've built sort of like zoos in a sense, where you could take the loop up there by Needles Highway, and it's the nature loop where you go for 12 miles or whatever it is and see where the buffalo roam, and usually you go in there and there ain't no buffalo. Or there's one up on the hill that you can't even see. Or you get like this one who looks at me in the road and he looks back and says, well, it was so much for you. One time I was stuck, not on this last trip, but one time I was stuck on this road going up Iron Mountain Road. And they had come from down in the valley and they were going up on the mountain, because there's, if you've been there before, the first portion, the first 5 miles Iron Mountain Road, it goes up to a plain. And that's where the buffaloes are if you're coming from the south. There's a plain up there. And that's where they were going up the road. And I got stuck behind them because they were walking right down the middle of the road. And suddenly the traffic's backed up because the pack, the herd was in two separate packs. And they blocked the road off up here, so now the cars are backing up. So I'm sitting there on a motorcycle exposed, and a buffalo bigger than that is coming up close. And I have nowhere to go. And I can't really turn around because I'm slipping and sliding on all the manure. And so I'm stuck. And you know what the buffalo did? He didn't even bat an eye. He didn't even blink. He just kept walking right by me. I could have grabbed him by the horn. And they say, don't get close to buffalo, man. They're dangerous. I was stuck. I was caught. There was nothing I could do. And the buffalo just, I just sat there still. And the buffaloes just walked right by. Had no care in the world whatsoever. And they certainly didn't care about me. Maybe we should learn some lessons from the buffalo. Jesus himself told the devil that man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Consider what Jesus was saying in the context. He hadn't eaten 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil chooses to come and tempt him at this time. He was hungry. He could have turned those stones to bread. He could have eaten, but instead, Jesus teaches us. And you know, by the way, Jesus didn't do what he could have done because he has to teach us. Jesus knew that we couldn't turn stones to bread. So he had to do what all of us can do and what you need to do every day of your life. Jesus told the devil, "Devil, it is written." Last week we said, "The Bible says." The Bible says. And so instead of turning the stones to bread, Jesus said, "The Bible says." And what he said was, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we have those words right here. We find our power, our sustainment, our nurturing, and even our sustenance right here. The Word of God. And that's why Jesus said, that's why I told you, remember the context of Matthew 6, that's why I'm telling you, verse 25, not to worry about everyday life. Don't worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more important than food? And your body more important than clothing? Look at the birds. Look at the buffalo. They don't plant or harvest or store foods in barns like we do. Like we do. For your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? And can all your worries add a single moment to your life? implied in the Greek here is no, you can't. You can't add to your life by worrying. The animals don't worry about it. Why do you? God knows what you need. Instead, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously, and then God will provide everything you need. You don't believe me? In verse 33, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Just as I said last time when Jesus said, it is written, let's say that in contemporary context. Jesus said, the Bible says. He told the devil, the Bible says. And so now I'm telling you, we look at the verse here in 33, it says, seek God first above anything and live rightly, and he will give you everything you need. These are the words of Jesus. Do you believe them? Remember, I've said months and years ago and all throughout the time that generations has existed, I have said, not only to be good as people, be good people, not a good little boy or a good little girl, but be good people, a good person, and act rightly. That's precisely what Jesus is saying here. And he says, don't worry about everyday life. We drive through, you know, by the way, those round bales are outlawed. Do you know that? They said the cows weren't getting a square meal. I always play that one on my kids. They go, ha ha, you know, funny joke. My dad told me that one. It's sort of like the time we drove by a big cemetery and he said, how many you think are dead in there in that cemetery? And boy, we were saying, oh, it looks like 100, 200, 300. He said, nope, you're all wrong. It's all of them. Jesus is saying, why do you worry about these things? These are mundane, common. I know you need food. I know that you need clothes. Live right. Be good and live right. Be a good person. I don't like to pick on people, but years ago, I think it was Caleb that found the money, right? He found $3,000 or $4,000. They were walking into the bank. And I'm sure all of you have a story like this, but I'm sharing it because it's my family. They're walking into the bank, and someone had dropped an envelope in the snow, picked up, come to find out there was $3,000 or $4,000 in it. And you know what Caleb did? He went right in the door and gave it to him. Did somebody drop their money? Did he get a reward for it? Did it matter? You do what's right. You do what's right. That's acting right. I'm sure all of you have a story like that, where you acted right, and God blessed you for it. And even if he didn't, in terms of maybe a immediate reward, there are other blessings that you may not be aware of, and maybe there are blessings that you are very aware of that God blessed you with because you did the right thing. You have to act rightly, even when no one's looking. And that's what Jesus was saying here in the text about don't be like the hypocrites. We are supposed to fast as Christians. We are supposed to pray. That's part of our lives. That's part of being a disciple. That's part of what we do. But we don't brag about prayer. We don't brag about our fast. We don't brag when we get it right. And that's what he's telling the disciples here in the text. Don't be like the hypocrites. When you fast, don't tell anyone. And comb your hair and brush your teeth. Make it look like you're not fasting. And your Father in heaven sees you act rightly, and he will provide you with everything you need. I can tell you, Darcy and I, over the 25 years that we've been married, or it's been 25, it's almost 25, seems like it's been a lot less. We have times when it's been really tight. I mean really tight. Really tight. But you know what? I can say in all honesty and God with these witnesses, may I have a heart attack right now if I'm lying. No. I'm not. God has always met our need. Every single time. So stop worrying, honey. No, I'm making a joke. Don't worry about food and clothing and where you're going to sleep. God knows you need these things. Live rightly and act goodly, and He will meet your needs. This is a text. Jesus is saying it. It's this short of a command. In 26 and 7, God reiterate there, and look at the birds of the field. And so I ask the question, can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? No, it can't. Not a single moment. He says about clothing in 28, why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work and make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will He certainly care for you? Why do you have so little faith? These are the kind of things, and here's where the discipleship comes in this morning. These are the kind of things that dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Don't be like the unbelievers. Their thoughts and their minds are dominated by those kind of things. Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to live? What are we going to put on? What? Hey, that doesn't mean that we just presumptuously believe that everything will work out when we're not being diligent. We're not acting correctly. We're not working and taking care of our family the best of our ability. But if you're doing everything that God wants you to do, I would bet that you'll have everything you need. Because the Bible says so. And it's played out in my life, and I'm sure many of yours. In 6:33 it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live rightly, and He will give you everything you need. He didn't say you're going to win the lottery and have $1 million. He didn't even say that you're going to be able to put a cherry on top of the whipped cream. But I bet you have a pie. He didn't say that you're going to have a Mercedes. But I bet you have a car that has wheels on it, not stones. What's the imperative here? Imperative. Seek the kingdom and God. In other words, what does it mean to seek God? It means to do what He says. It means to live how He says we should live. It means that we obey what the Scripture says to the best that we can know, that we know how, the best that we can. And when we fail, we repent and get on our horse and get on with it. Seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness is how it says in other translations. In other words, seek the kingdom of God, seek the Lord as Him as the pinnacle of your life, the reasons for your life, seeking God and acting like Him above everything else. This is individually in your heart. And act rightly. He'll give you everything you need. There's a promise, but there's a condition. Seek the kingdom and act rightly. Bet you didn't know all these lessons were in the grain fields, did you? No one can serve two masters. You hate one, love the other. You vote one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Our purposes cannot be about getting richer. Again, I don't want you to misunderstand. There's nothing wrong with working hard and being determined and saving and doing the right things that you're supposed to do to take care of your family's needs. There's the reality of money in this world. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we sacrifice our family on the throne of money. When we sacrifice relationships on the throne of money. When we stab people in the back trying to claw and climb over them to get up the rung in the ladder. Jesus said, don't do it. Don't do it. Jesus was tempted also to serve another master. Remember, he said the third temptation in the desert was what? Kneel down and worship me, and I will give you all of this. Well, guess what, devil? Jesus already had all this, and he knew that he already had all this. And so in like manner, you know that you serve the kingdom of heaven. You know who you are in your relationship with God. You know that he knows that you have needs, and he knows that you have needs, and he's going to meet those needs, and he's going to fulfill his promises to you when you act rightly and live rightly, and you know that. So when the devil comes and you start to worry, you tell him, devil, the Bible says that if I act rightly and be good, that God will take care of my needs. Go on. And at the end of that time of temptation with the devil fled. And you can tell yourself and even that old devil, it is written. Finally, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And this is the hardest challenge for us today and as a disciple. Where is your heart? And sometimes we need to have a heart check. We need to have a heart check. And so I'm asking the Holy Spirit, even right now, to give you a heart check. Where is it that your heart lies? Where is it, as you measure yourself and as the Holy Spirit examines you right now, where is it? Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? And Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, verse 34. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. What is it? We got so much to handle right now, I don't even have time to think about tomorrow. And if I start thinking about tomorrow, I'm going to get it wrong today. And if I start worrying about tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, next thing you know, I won't be acting rightly right now. I'll miss the needs that my brothers and sisters have. I'll miss the opportunity to minister, to pray for other people. I'll miss the opportunity to be in the Word. I'll miss the opportunity to serve them in church. I'll miss the opportunity to put my treasures in the right place because I'm worried about tomorrow. Be like the buffalo. I don't think he has a whole lot to worry about. And neither should you. These verses provide us the assurance that by the grace of God, these trials and tribulations and troubles can be survived. Why? Because we're children of the King. Worship team, would you come? Please stand as we close.